Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by visiting IMSAradio.com or search for IMSA Radio wherever they get their podcasts. The Porsche Carrera Cup North America on IMSA Radio.
Welcome to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway for the Porsche Sport Together Fest, and it's the first year of the Porsche Carrera Cup North America Series, and it's hit the ground and is running. And this weekend, we get towards the second part of the series. We have a triple header round, one race today, Saturday at the IMS, and two tomorrow. And the format, I'm sure, is going to be a massive hit. It's going to be certainly a massive hit, and we're going to do it all over again to conclude the season at Road Atlanta. We've got 33 cars lining up to go out onto the grid, and it's just absolute tribute to everybody in this championship. The cars look fantastic. It's super close in terms of times, and to keep things very, very interesting indeed, we've got three classes. You're not just racing for outright victory, you're trying to win your class as well. We've got Pro, we've got Pro-Am, and we've got Pro-Am 991. That's for the cars from earlier years. And it's really, really good. So we have drivers from the age of 19 through to 64. We've got it all covered. But this track, using the 14 turns around the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, a very, very special place to go racing. We're going to do that very soon. The Porsche pace car is going to lead them around. And I think this is going to be really, very special indeed. Plenty of space to go out racing. The big, broad IMS circuit with that fabulous line of bricks over the start-finish line. But, of course, they run in traditional reverse direction tradition and into turn one, as they had when the Grand Prix came here back at the late 1990s, and then a different version of the infield, but plenty of space for racing, plenty of paces in which you may want to try and make an overtaking manoeuvre. But whether they work, well, we've seen how they've gone around in practice, we've seen how they've gone around in qualifying, and I think this is going to be very, very special indeed. And on pole position, we're going to have Seb Priot, a young British driver, and young is something that I'll be saying quite a lot. An awful lot of these drivers about 30 years ago wouldn't have really been past their first year of racing, but they have many years under their belts, and to be let loose in these fantastic Porsches is a real, real celebration for them, and it's a stepping stone for a lot of these racers towards greater things in the sport. We've got people running in the 991 Pro-Am class who aren't looking to go to the very top. This is what they want to do, but with Works Porsche drivers as a possibility, as a carrot dangled in front of the young guns, it's something very, very special. And what a stage they have to perform their skills on here on the IMS. 14 turns around the lap. Precision is absolutely everything. I simply cannot wait. I've watched the Porsche Carrera Cup Series around the world. This year's cars, the brand new cars, not in all the championships, but obviously the North American market is so important to Porsche. This was one of the chosen series, and these cars are truly fantastic. Anybody who's driven the previous models thought they were good. Step up to these latest models, and they are really fantastic machinery to drive. This is their aspiration to race in this. For others, they're hoping that they can work their way up the Porsche ladder of drivers. And any driver aged 20, under 23 at the start of the season, and we have a good handful of those, they have the opportunity to go and tilt for Porsche Junior Honours. So it's an extra incentive as they try and work their way to the very top of the motor racing pyramid. Conditions absolutely fantastic. Let me just run you down the grid order as the cars snake their way out of turn six, down that infield straight, plenty of width, as you can see. But it's Seb Priot, son of multiple world touring car champion Andy Priot, who starts from pole position. Parker Thompson, Canadian racer for JDX Racing, will be starting from second on the grid. And Kai Van Berlo, who's leading the championship at the moment, is also, like Seb Priot, turning out for Kelly Moss Road and Race. What a famous team across the continent, across the decades as well. And he will be starting from third on the grid. Fourth on the grid will be Riley Dickinson, the Porsche Austin sponsored drivers. And may I say that the cars look absolutely fabulous. Brilliant race liveries they've concocted this year. The glory of the wrap, you could say. So many different liveries descending on these cars. They all arrived in silver. They're certainly not all silver now. As I said, 14 turns around the lap, and right now the drivers approaching. They've just gone onto the banking at what is turn two in the Indy 500, but it's being run in the opposite direction. Into turn 12, they go off the banking through the tight left-hander at turn 13. And what we saw through practice was a few drivers just putting the foot down too soon and rotating their way round and ruining their lap. But right now, they start to turn right. They bunch up two by two, doing exactly as the race director wanted of them here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Cars almost as far as the eye can see, but it's a pole position for Seb Priaulx. Can he make it count? Can Parco Thompson, the Canadian, on the outside line? That's going to be the high line as they come round. Absolutely fantastic formation of these cars. Side by side, nose to tail, waiting for the light on the starting gantry to go green. And they're teasing them. They're looking for that formation to be perfect. It's as good as it can be. But it looks a slightly better start from the outside, the front row from Parco Thompson. He's got his nose in front. They're halfway down towards the first corner. But he's going to be on the outside line. So if Seb Priaulx can keep it cool, keep it calm. And now he's suddenly gone up through the gears a little bit better. He's in front. Parco Thompson's backed off a little bit. And in fact, one of the 311 RS motorsport cars, the red one's running a little bit wide down at turn one. But for Seb Priaulx, that was a controlling the race from the start, and certainly that pole position was very important. And grid order has been kept. Second place is Thompson, third is Van Berlo, fourth is Dickinson, kicking up the dirt as they go through the early part of the lap. Tight and twisty, but when we see the cars, they're just turning into turn four now. They've got turns five and six, and turn six will bring them onto that mid infield straight. And we saw a lot of cars running very, very wide indeed over the concrete strip that runs alongside the tarmac. Down they go. We've got a spinner at the back of the pack. It's silver and green. We've got it's number 17, silver green 17. It's Kurt Swearingen, who's been looking so good this weekend. That's a real setback. He's going to be thankful there are three races to play for, because this one's already taken a little bit of a back seat. We may well see him coming up through the order. I hope we see him coming up through the order. But that was just what he didn't want to happen. But such a tricky corner, turn six. It was always a place you expected to have them come round. Well, that really, really was a very impressive start from Seb Priaulx. He's got race wins under his belt. He's sitting here second in the championship, 7 points down. And Kai Van Berlo, who's leading the championship, just 7 points ahead of Priaulx, getting a little bit bottled up at the moment. He's got to find a way past Parco Thompson. May be able to do that as they go out onto the banking. Down the start-finish straight they go for the first time at full racing speed. Of course, they were two by two on the opening lap when they came down to start the opening lap, but this time round, looking for the interval, it's a nice tidy 1.3 seconds gained by the race leader, Seb Priaulx. Very tight first time he got into turn one. This time he's got breathing space. Second place, still Parco Thompson. Kai Van Berlo is going to have to work a route around the Canadian. The young driver, Dutch driver, though, has shown in the earlier rounds he can overtake in places where other drivers don't necessarily expect it. Very, very positive. But Parco Thompson down through turn four, keeping things very much under control. And this is allowing Riley Dickinson to get onto his tail. Lee Keane in the bright red car, he wasn't the one that ran wide at turn one. It's a teammate running in fifth place. TJ Fither in sixth. Sean McAllister, another of the Porsche juniors, in seventh. Dylan Murray, son of David Murray, legendary sports car racer, runs around in eighth. Seb Carazzo in ninth. Hutton McKenna in tenth. And Efrin Castro, who started on pole in the Pro-Am class, he's still leading that class. And likewise, he's in 11th, but leading the Pro-Am 991 class, that's Joe Lombardo. But he has got a pro car behind him, because it was the other red 311 RS motorsport car that went round at turn one. That's Ryan Gates. Expect him to work his way back up towards the front. Seb Priaulx, 1.3 seconds clear at the top at the end of the opening lap. Down through turn 12 they go, through turn 13. Try to keep it neat, keep it tidy. Swing across to the outside of the circuit to get the most open line through turn 14 onto the start-finish straight. And I would guess right now that Seb Priaulx, when he's put in the fastest lap of the race, that's not expected. I think the gap would have grown. It was 1.3 seconds, 1.5. He's gained 0.2 of a second. The battle for second place, very fierce, very, very tight indeed. But Parco Thompson not putting a wheel wrong at the moment. And if anything, just behind him, Kai Van Berlo got a little bit loose, kicked up a bit of dust, just ran that little bit wide. So that's giving a bit of sucker for Riley Dickinson. Can he put the pressure on him? That, if it happens, will give a lot of relief for Parco Thompson. He may be able to relax a little bit more in second place. Just looking down through the classes, so we've got those two racing laps completed. The Pro-Am class, 11th place, 12th, 13th and 14th. They're the first four runners in Pro-Am. It's Efin Castro from Tim Pappas, just 2.5 seconds between them. Thomas Collingwood in third, Bill Smith in fourth. In the Pro-Am 991 class, it's Matt Halcombe by a similar margin, 1.3 seconds from Craig Conway. And Joe Lombardo, who had led the class early on, has dropped back to third. But expect him to fight back in number 92, one of the cars out of the Kelly Moss Road and Race awning. And already we're seeing some passing further back down the field. Ryan Gates, by the way, starting to pick his way back up. He was the pro driver who got it wrong on the opening lap and turn one, the opening corner of the opening lap, but he's picking his way back, and I would expect, given some judicious overtaking, to see him working his way back up past those Pro-Am runners to get towards the tail of the top 10. Top 10 All-Pro runners. Car 55. Yes, it's the Scooby-Doo Mystery Machine livery, and that's Matt Halcombe. And he's running at the moment in the lead of the Pro-Am 991 class. Very distinctive in that largely orange, blue and green race livery. And Kurt Sweringen, don't forget, got a little bit caught out at the start of the race down at turn one. He's picking his way up the order. It's the gunmetal grey with the green and yellow stripes, flashes up over the bonnet or the hood, down the sides, over the wheel arches and on the rear wing, and he is just going to be making his way forward. Going around the outside of number 14, Anders Kovac, and in terms of race experience, you'd certainly have expected that move to be made. So Kurt fighting his way back. In fact, he fell very much towards the tail of the field. It had only had two of the newcomers, the two rookies this weekend behind him. He's picked off one of them. Expect more from Kurt. Three laps on the board now. The gap between first and second was 1.3, became 1.5. It's now 1.8 seconds, said Prio, back to Parker Thompson. And Parker's got, the enormous margin of just over a quarter of a second back to Kai Van Berlo, who's got Riley Dickinson right on his tail as well. But Seb Prio pushing on. You can see down through the tighter corners, through turns one and two, the tail coming around. But he's got it very well balanced, the young driver from Guernsey. The Multimatic livery up the side. And then again, towards the end of the lap, you can see it equally nicely balanced on the car's toes. Seb Prio going through the tight turns at 12 and 13, down the start-finish straight. And the gap, no doubt, will go out a little bit more. Waiting for confirmation of that with four laps on the board. And in fact, it's gone out by the smallest of margins because Parker Thompson nearly matching his time down to the thousandths of a second. So in this, the first season of the Porsche Carrera Cup North America, presented by Visit Cayman Islands, I think everybody involved should be very, very pleased indeed. A real step up from what's been before. And I think this parity with the other Porsche Carrera Cup series around the world, don't forget that the highlight of those is the Porsche Super Cup that supports the Grand Prix Circus, particularly in the European rounds. You know, many of the drivers here may fancy a crack at that in the years ahead. But this, in the inaugural season in the United States for the North American Championship for the Porsche Carrera Cup with the very latest cars, the 992s. I think it's a very, very good debut indeed. Kai Van Berlo really has got his hands full. Riley Dickinson all over his tail and getting slightly compromised when tucked in behind. You've always got to look for where is the weakness that Kai Berlo has, and he hasn't found it as yet. I'm not sure there is one, because what we saw through the moment these cars hit the Indianapolis Motor Speedway for practice, the two quickest drivers, the drivers who could get down to the speeds the soonest in the shortest time, were Kai Van Berlo and Seb Prio. I mean, that's why they're at the top of the championship. You can see others taking a little bit more time. And of course, Van Berlo and race leader Seb Prio are both competing for Kelly Moss Road and Race. So there might be some shared knowledge, but there's still that competition. And even the very greatest drivers sometimes kept their setup slightly secret, but whatever it is, it's good enough to be leading the race. But Kai Van Berlo's really starting to drop back now, and he's as he's trying to defend from Riley Dickinson, that's given Parker Thompson just the opportunity to maybe concentrate not on what's behind. He's got a big enough gap now with getting on towards 2 seconds back. Well, it's just over 2 seconds now back to third place. He may finally be able to start going off after Seb Prio, because Kai Van Berlo has got his hands full. Parker Thompson looking very, very tidy, neat and tidy. It's sometimes quite difficult to be running so close behind another car in a near identical car. And also you've got a bit of a tow, but then you do get the wash removed from your car. You're trying to get turned into a corner and you don't have as much downforce as you would have liked. But right now, Riley Dickinson asking all the questions, hasn't yet got any answers. Looking back down the order, have to look back to 11th place to the leading car in Pro-Am, as it has been for a long time. Efrin Castro started on pole in the class. Efrin running in the number 65 car entered by Team Hardpoint EBM. That's Earl Bamber Motorsport. Earl, of course, competing in the World Endurance Championship and pretty much anywhere else that he can go racing. As long as it's got a Porsche name on it, he's there, the Kiwi. But Efrin leading from Tim Pappas. Tim 4.5 seconds further back. They're first and second in Pro-Am. Third in Pro-Am, still Thomas Collingwood. But he's being caught and possibly this lap going to be passed by the recovering Ryan Gates. Look out for car number 11, one of the two bright red entries from 311 RS Motorsport. The better place of the two is the one in fifth place overall. That's Lee Keane, just behind the battle that's drawing the TV director's eyes. The battle for third place, that's super close. Kai Van Berlo, Riley Dickinson, and then Lee Keane. Just will be coming into the background of the shot, about a second further down the track. And for Lee Keane, he's sort of sticking up for drivers with a few more years on the clock. He's, oh gosh, he'll be turning 40 soon, imagine that. But the front runner's very young indeed. Seb Prio, car number 15, is only just 20, one of the Porsche juniors. Second place, Parker Thompson, running car number 9 for JDX Racing, 23, just turned 23. Kai Van Berlo, again, short in years, 20 years old Dutch racer, so a lot of really young racers. And Riley Dickinson, I sense, is possibly even the youngest of that grouping. Let's have a quick look at the entry list. And yeah, he's only 19, so Riley Dickinson, short in terms of years, but gaining experience hand over fist and looking very useful indeed. Gap, first to second, lap after lap, just being extended. So this is probably the most relaxing race Seb Prio has had. Parker Thompson is 2.1 seconds behind him. It just goes out by a few tenths here or there. Comfort just being added with every single lap. We've got more than, we've got 33 minutes remaining in the race. It's a 45-minute race, and the real battle is still that battle for third place overall. Kai Van Berlo hanging on. Looking down through the classes, Efrin Castro. It's blue, metallic dark blue and yellow. Now, mistake towards the end of that was at turn 12, and Kai Van Berlo was third, became fourth, and very quickly became fifth. Unfortunate moment for him. Just a little bit too much pressure applied by Riley Dickinson. Sorry, that was the start of the lap. And so he's suddenly gone back two positions. Lee Keane, well, he was sort of holding that watching brief, looking, hoping, just about a second further back, if there's a possibility, if the pair of them run wide, I'm able to be able to get through. In this case, it was just one of them running wide, and that was Kai Van Berlo. So he's got to stage his fight back. He's already dropped off their tail a little bit and running very wide out of turn six as well. So just got it a little overcooked, deep into the corner, and couldn't get the braking done. And the two cars behind said, thank you very much. By the way, Ryan Gates looking for his progress. His next target is Tim Pappas. There's about a tenth of a second between them. Tim is running in the Pro-Am class, second in the Pro-Am class. And Ryan Gates, who had that spin at turn one, lap one, is a pro runner, and he's hunting them down. He's very close to Tim Pappas. Tim, 6 seconds down on Efrin Castro. We just had a quick sighting of Efrin, the number 65 car, metallic blue and yellow by Team Hardpoint EBM. He's safe leading the Pro-Am class. He may get attacked by Ryan Gates, but it doesn't matter. It's not a battle for the two of them to have, because Ryan Gates is trying to score points in the Pro Championship, and Efrin Castro, come what may, he'd love to be in the top 10 overall, but he's looking simply to win the Pro-Am class, and he's doing a very good job sweeping through the banking. Car looks magnificent with the, first I thought it was metallic grey, but it seems to be a metallic blue and mid-yellow car with swirls and swoops all over the roof. And Thomas Collingwood not too far behind down the road. That BGB Motorsports, 44-year-old Canadian from Newfoundland, running third in the Pro-Am class. Number 11 seems to have gained another position. So Ryan Gates has got past Tim Pappas, as expected. Tim knew he wasn't in a battle with Gates. So Gates is able to press on and try and pick his way up the order a little more. The driver from Minnesota, I must say, looking at the spread of where people come from, it's about as continental as it can get. From the north to the south, from the west to the east. And Tim Pappas, who, well, if it says Porsche, he wants to race it. He wants to race it in the States, he wants to race it in Canada. And we've seen him over the years loving his action at Le Mans as well. And certainly for a lot of the drivers at the very front of the field, the ones with a J in brackets after the name, the ones who are trying to get signed up as Porsche junior drivers, they're looking for the big one. They're looking for the Le Mans 24 Hours. They're looking for the Daytona 24 Hours. Those are the sort of races they can imagine themselves or put themselves in the picture. These are the ones we want to win in the years ahead. And it's not a bad time to be a young sports car racer. Work your way up the order. This is the moment when the sports car scenario is changing enormously for the years ahead, with the Le Mans Hybrid and the LMDH hybrids that will be racing on both sides of the Atlantic, and the conjoining of the sports car world. When that happens, that's when the sports car racing scene is at its very best. And I think over the next 2 to 3 years, we're really going to get to a high point, which has been hard earned. You know, the championships have all taken a little bit of a knocking, but they're coming back. And I think this is extraordinarily exciting young time, particularly to be a young racing driver trying to land a works drive. And certainly the opportunities are far more fulsome than they've been for a very, very long time. I would almost hazard a guess since ever. Matt Houken, number 55, still leading the way in the Pro-Am 991 class, and has just been putting on a fantastic drive in that, running for Goldcrest Motorsports, very busy in that class in particular for the older Porsche models. And Matt was impressive in practice, in qualifying good too, and right here, right now, he's stretching away. Joe Lombardo lost out in the early stages of the race, had a bit of a moment and got muscled out. But look out for the 92 car. He qualified on pole for the Pro-Am 991 class. But for Kelly Moss Road and Race, his car is black, largely with a red nose and flashes. He's worked his way back to second in that class. He's moved ahead of Connor Flynn. In terms of natural pace, you'd have expected that. But he's righting the wrong of what happened right at the start of the race. And I haven't told you about the gap between first and second for a while. How remiss, we haven't really been looking at it too much, because it's all very much under control by Seb Priaulx. 3.1 seconds to the good, 10 laps now on the board. And we've nearly done 17 minutes, which will leave 28 minutes in this race. So these are long races. A lot of the Porsche Carrera Cup races around the world are more like 30 minutes. So this is more of a chance for these young drivers in particular to learn the craft about how to keep their tyres sweet. And what I'm starting to sense, just looking for lap times last time around, Kai van Berlo has just tumbled and tumbled. He's down, we saw him have that moment, but he's dropped down to ninth place now. We had him having that moment. I'm beginning to wonder if he's actually got a tyre problem that either caused him to go off, or he went off and has flat spotted a tyre and it's not working at all well, because he's now coming under further attack, and the next driver who's going to catch up to his tail is Hutton McKenna, who's running in 10th. Because certainly car 27, Seb Carazzo has gone past him as well. So the championship leader is not looking glorious at this moment. And in terms of natural pace, one feels he would be at the front end, should be at the front end. Made a bit of a slip up, and he's got it all to do. He's got to stop the rot. Yes, his last lap, he must have had either a further spin that I didn't spot or wasn't picked up. He was 5.5, 6 seconds slower than the race leader. Whereas it was the lap before that he'd had, or two laps before he'd had the problem and dropped down the order, dropped from third back to fifth. So a further problem for Van Berlo. Now just going to see what the Dutchman can do. Can he pick up the pace all over again? He's now maybe starting to close a little bit on Seb Carazzo. Waiting for the timing screens to say what sort of pace the two of them managed on. He's back to a better pace, but it's a second a lap down on the race leader, Seb Priaulx. And Parker Thompson was fastest last time around in second place. Canadian racer Thompson. He's going to get towards a bit of lapping, and unfortunately for Bill Smith, another grassy moment. He had a few of those in practice. Where is he? It's quite hard to pick out. He's rejoined the circuit. Not always easy to see when a car goes off the track and there's a wide grassy area precisely where things went wrong, but I sense that was down at turn, got it wrong at turn 12. He swept onto the start finish straight, of course running in the counter clockwise, anti-clockwise direction. And for Bill, he started the lap in 22nd position. I don't sense that he lost a great deal of time. He still finishes it in 22nd position. And now suddenly the pressure is on Matt Halcone. He's got the 17 Porsche in behind. That's Kurt Swearingen. They're not running in the same classes. Kurt's running in the Pram class, and you can just pick out a few differences. Look for the rear wing. That's the real telltale that tells you the ultimate story. The rear wing, where you have the swan neck in reverse formation, i.e. they bend towards the back of the car, that is on the newer body shape, the 992. And, well, Matt Halcone opened the door, flashed the indicator, said, come on through. And I think Kurt Swearingen just paused for a nanosecond there, thinking, are you serious? Have I seen what I've seen? Good. We're not fighting in the same class. I'll go through. A little bit cautious, but maybe that's a better idea than just diving in without having full knowledge or confirmation that a wave-by was happening. So, looking at the circuits these drivers have got to race on so far this year, it makes very, very good reading. Sort of great circuits of the North American racing scene, starting off in Sebring, Mosport, Watkins Glen, Toronto supporting the Indy, Road America track I've still got to get to, VIR, Indianapolis, and ending at Road Atlanta. That's not a bad grouping of tracks for this inaugural season of the Porsche Carrera Cup North America, presented by Visit Cayman Islands. And certainly, I'm sure it's sunny down there. It's certainly sunny at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and it's certainly very sunny indeed if your name is Sebastian Seb Prio, leading the race by 3.5 seconds. He's got things under control, but he's got waved yellow flags ahead of him, because down at turn one, there's one car on one side of the track on the grass and a recovering car on the other side of the track. So good marshalling work, but just these sort of moments can interrupt your flow. It hasn't interrupted Seb Prio at all, but and sorry, I tell you what, that wasn't at turn one. It was diving into turn 12, and I'm afraid number 14, Anders Kovac, suddenly was given a little bit of a wrap up the side. And round he went. Again, it was looking at the banking and the tight right-hand corner at the end of it. And then Seb Prio came down off the banking into turn 12, saw the yellow flag, identified the fact that two cars were, one was on one side of the track, one was the other, threaded their way past one, and Seb Prio continues on his way. 3.4 seconds to the good. But the good thing is, if you're sitting on an advantage of 3 or 4 seconds, it's you can clearly afford to just be a little bit cautious when you come across incidents that have happened ahead of you. You don't have to dive in and just think, well, let's hope they clear. Parker Thompson, likewise, in the background of the shot, running in number 9, the JDX Racing entry. Again, he's got space. He hasn't got anybody enormously closely behind him. He's got Riley Dickinson, actually a similar margin back, 3.5 seconds down in third place, number 53. Driver from Texas, and Lee Keane not too far behind him. In fact, he's now, I tell you what, the last few laps haven't been so good for Lee Keane. He's lost, it's basically first to second is 3.5 seconds, second to third is 3.5 seconds, and third to fourth place, that's Dickinson to Lee Keane, just a bit over 3.5 seconds. Keeping an eye out to see the progress of Ryan Gates. He's not yet got past the leading Pro-Am car, but he's getting closer and closer. Ryan Gates still behind Efren Castro. But Castro comfortably clear. He's nearly 9 seconds clear of Tim Pappas, who's second in Pro-Am. Third place in Pro-Am. 7 and a bit seconds further back is Thomas Collingwood. John Gutz in fourth. But Kurt Swearingen, possibly the fastest other than Efren Castro, picking his way up. He's to fifth place in the Pro-Am class. His next target, but he's got to find 7 seconds, is John Gertz. But I expect the number 17, Kurt Swearingen, to make that progress before the end of the race. And we still have 21 and a half minutes remaining. We're just past the halfway mark. Ryan Gates, there are two almost solid red cars from the 311 RS Motorsport crew, and easy to pick them out. They stood out from the multicoloured cars, and unfortunately also Ryan Gates has stood out totally turn one, lap one, when he went over the white line on the outside of the circuit and had to tidy it all up again and work his way up from the very back of the field. First to second, it was 3.5 seconds, a much, much better lap for Seb Priaulx. Gained 0.8 seconds over Parker Thompson. There may have been a little bit of traffic, but in fact, everybody else was lapping in the 1 minute 40, some in the 1 minute 41, but Seb Priaulx just whacked in a 1 minute 39.2. That really is stamping the young Guernsey racer's authority on this race. He was brave, he was forceful and resilient down to the first corner in the opening lap. Just did enough to keep the charging Parker Thompson outside him and then behind him into turn one. But thereafter, it's been all about Priaulx. And I said a short while back, his advantage, his deficit in... Oh dear, we've got a spinner and it's car number 27 that's gone round. So Sebastian Carazzo was eighth overall. I sense he will have now fallen behind Kai van Berlo and maybe behind, did I spot the tail end of Ryan Gates's car going through as well? Certainly a bright red car up in front of him, so that could be a loss of three positions for Carazzo, the driver from Puerto Rico, from Guanabo. So it's step forward everyone else. So Hutton Kai van Berlo goes up to eighth. Not so good, bearing in mind he started third, but maybe that was a gift to him. Hutton McKenna up to ninth. Pro-Am leader Efren Castro up to tenth. And Ryan Gates up to 11th. So for Seb Carazzo, he's got to make good. He has the pace to pick his way back, but that was a drop of four positions and probably about 10 seconds being squandered. Looking for any other changes, people working their way forward. Kurt Swearingen is still trying to catch John Gertz. It's going to be a long-term project, but he's finding 0.4 seconds a lap, but he's got 6 seconds to gain, so that could be quite a while as yet. But for the driver with the largest lead in any of the class, just doing some quick maths, it's actually Efren Castro looking at him on screen at the moment. Car number 65, 10th position overall. He's got a decent advantage over Tim Pappas, who's got two cars between him and Castro. There's Ryan Gates and Sebastian Carazzo. They're 11th and 12th. And Tim Pappas, second in the Pro-Am class, is down in 13th position overall. So the drivers really reveling in these cars news for 2021, and settling in very well indeed to the performance that's on offer. And certainly these very latest cars being really, really well received anywhere that they've been racing. And really the mark of this championship was how many pro drivers it could draw to its ranks, because the North American sports car scene, very, very well packed indeed. And obviously with the series as it is at the moment, with the state of the world, with still the pandemic restricting travel and making logistics difficult, we've obviously had a lot of clashes of championships. And in fact, Alan Metney this weekend, the driver who's leading the Pro-Am class, is only going to be with us tomorrow, Sunday. He's competing at Laguna Seca on Saturday today, and then he's going to hop on the flight and come in cold. But he had a choice. He was doing well in two different championships. The Lamborghini Series, that racing at Laguna Seca, I think he was leading his class in that, leading the Pro-Am class here, but with a tidy margin. And I think he thought he could afford to let one race go. That's this race, today's race, the Saturday race. He's got two races tomorrow. Oh, and just having a look, Anders Kovacs showing us both sides of his car, number 14 for MRS GT, now sitting in the middle of the track at the corner where I would suggest the majority of the spins have been. It's coming onto that infield straight. It's turn number six. Get the power down a bit too soon, and your tail gets to visit the nose. It goes round and round. And for Anders Kovacs, that will that puts him down into last position. And those behind avoided him very nicely indeed, but certainly had to adjust their line pretty quickly. Getting on towards two-thirds distance. We'll do that in another minute and a half. in this race. Seb Priaulx's got 17 laps very comfortably under his belt. Parker Thompson, though, keeping him honest, 4.3 seconds in arrears, and in fact they've settled at almost identical pace. And number 15, the Multimatic livery all over it. Kelly Moss, Road and Race. Car looks absolutely fantastic. And sweeping through the infield part of the circuit, and it's Seb Priaulx all the way. Parker Thompson doesn't seem to have the answer this time around, but we know that he's been on tip-top form last time out. But still two more races to go here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. So for championship leader at the start of the race, Kai Van Berlo, he's going to have to hope he gets back on his toes. Because if the cars finish as they are now, the race leader, Seb Priaulx, will take home 25 points compared to just 8 points to Kai Van Berlo, who's running in 8th place. So instead of being 7 points ahead, he'll be 10 points in arrears. So things can swing away from a driver just like that, and certainly anything like a driver penalty when it's as competitive as this can drop a driver a large number of points, and that's what they're trying to avoid. And for Parker Thompson, who's running second in the race and third overall, if he finishes where he is now, he'll pick up 20 points, so he'll take a handful of points away from Van Berlo, but unfortunately for him he'll lose some to the driver who ought to move into the lead of the championship, to Seb Priaulx, the only driver who's in front of him out on the circuit. Again, just trying to check the pace of Kai Van Berlo. He's lapping in 1 minute, last time around, 1 minute 41 seconds flat, whereas race leader last time around, Seb Priaulx, 1 minute 39.2 seconds. So not just got clean air, he's clearly got more pace in his car. And for the team that runs the pair of them, Kelly Moss, Road and Race, that's going to be a factor they have to consider, how they set the cars up. And suddenly, it's almost like the first lap all over again through turns one and two. We have a four-car gaggle and the order changing left, right and centre. And the driver had a spin very recently, Ander Kovac, in the middle of it in number 14. And we've got the car reporting into the pits. Didn't see who it was, but the timing screens will tell us fairly soon. Someone clearly has had a problem that needs sorting. Drivers all over the curbs in the middle of the shot there as you get the four cars running together. It was driver of car number 29, Jeffrey Masurak, competing for Goldcrest Motorsports, being compromised and into the pit lane. And are we having a drive-through? Oh, it's a long pit lane looking for the pit crew. And other cars now diving into the pits. Kai Van Berlo diving into the pits. Just taking a look, got the red, white and blue of Holland on the B pillar, the pillar between the front and rear side windows. And Van Berlo dropping down the order a little bit more with this run through the pits. No problems at all for Seb Priaulx. Leading the race, controlling the race, 4.5 seconds to the good. Parker Thompson second, Riley Dickinson all but identical margin back into third place. They're both 4.5 seconds apart. First to second, that's Priaulx to Thompson, and second to third, Thompson to Dickinson. 4.5 seconds, 4.5 seconds. Seb Priaulx starting to work the traffic now as well. That might compromise his lap times, but they're certainly not slowing down. In fact, he just dipped down into 1 minute 38 there, 1 minute 38.9 seconds. And the margins might rise, they might fall a little bit according to how the traffic falls ahead of the front-end drivers as they come through. But just one car to pass for Seb Priaulx. He's flashing his lights. It's Bill Smith, the bright orange runner. That he certainly should have seen him. Up ahead of Bill is Matt Halcombe. And Matt will be looking back a little bit as well. But with that 4.5 second advantage, Seb Priaulx just should have this under control. Doesn't have to take too many risks as he goes through. And In fact, it's not red all over. It's only red on the nose, then black behind. So it's Joe Lombardo, who's running second in the Pro-Am 991 class. He's hunted down Matt Halcombe, who's now in 55. What, just a second away from him, just leading the Pro-Am class. But Joe Lombardo, who was on pole for the class, but lost out in the early laps, he now wants to get past Halcombe, but he's got the race leader tucked in behind him. So this is not the dream scenario for Seb Priaulx. But he's got the pace. He's just got to have the patience to go with it. And in fact, traffic in the last lap did compromise our race leader a bit more than the car in second place. Instead of being 4.5 seconds, the gap between them is down to 3.2 seconds. So a little bit of hope handed the way of Parker Thompson in second place for JDX Racing. I must say, through the tighter corners, turn 12 and 13 in particular, our race leader, Seb Priaulx, is so tidy. The car so beautifully balanced. Good lines too from Parker Thompson in second place, but this time I sense he's the one who's slightly losing out in the traffic. And Riley Dickinson likewise a little bit mired. In fact, he's always going to be compromised. He went high, he went low, got round the tail end of Ander Kovacs as he came out of the final corner, turn 14. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, but it really was a very wise change of direction there from Riley Dickinson. Could have committed to staying on the upper side, but you start to run out of options when you've stuck yourself up there high against the wall. First to second, well, it's order slightly re-established, about 0.3 seconds, you know, a bit more than that gained by the race leader again. So he's back to over 4 seconds clear of Parker Thompson. Just can't pass Bill Smith in the background of the shot. They go down the infield straight with under 10 minutes remaining in this 45-minute blast. The first of three here, the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Riley Dickinson in the shot as well. So not a huge distance between the first three, but you just really sense that it's under control from Seb Priaulx. Led into turn one, has stayed in front ever since. And for the chasing Parker Thompson, as much as he'd love to close in his own right, he knows he's going to need a little bit of an assist. Help from a back marker, help from somewhere, something that hasn't happened really as yet, if he's going to have a chance to get close enough to Seb Priaulx to have a crack. But the fact is, we've had 36.5 minutes in this race and the gap's only gone one direction. It's not been in his favour. It's been going out whenever the traffic's clear and clean. Seb Priaulx's got a little bit more pace. This time, however, possibility of a bit of a toe down the start-finish straight for Riley Dickinson. And he goes past Bill Smith, so he's gained a little bit of a help there in his run in third place. But I think for a lot of these drivers, these cars have just been such an enticing prospect, and it's great to know they've got that. These 4-litre six-cylinder engines are just as gutsy as they can be. They sound fantastic, but it's the fact you've got global parity, always very exciting, that you may be able to take your skills and what you gain from these cars and compete in other series around the world, and likewise other races in the Carrera Cup series in Asia, in Britain, in Europe, in Germany, in Benelux will be looking at this and going, I quite fancy racing in 2022 in this series. Look at the circuits they race on. Epic. The very best of the racing circuits in the States. So why wouldn't this be a carrot that dangles in front of them? And Kai Van Berlo rejoined. He's now the last. He's the 11th of the pro drivers. He's down behind Ryan Gates off that run through the pits. We've got a car, a bright blue car, sitting in pit lane at the moment. Might have actually just been the safety car, so I won't jump to conclusion. Just saw it on the left-hand side of the shot. It was blue, the car that led them round before the start of the race, so not a pit visitor, more someone sitting in the pits. Kurt Swearingen now fighting with Thomas Collingwood, and 17's gone past 69, so change of position, up to fourth in the Pro-Am class. It's been a long haul for number 17, Kurt Swearingen, but picking his way forward now. I think one of the sharpest looking cars. I really like the gunmetal with the bright yellow markings on it. Really does stand out. So Tom Collingwood still just being picked off, just looking to see who's in front of him. John Gertz just up the track ahead of him. So suddenly the John Gertz, car number 57, who's running third in the prime class, has been passed. And it's going forward all the time for Kurt Swearingen. Our race leader, comfortable, doesn't have to push too hard. 6 minutes precisely remaining, therefore 39 minutes have elapsed, and it's Seb Priaulx leading now by 4.2 seconds. That margin hasn't really gone out. It came down a tiny little bit when they got to traffic. But it's been very well controlled by the driver from Guernsey, one of the Channel Islands off the south coast of England, or off the coast of France, if you want to look at it that way. But following in the wheel tracks, third generation, his grandfather was a hill climber, his father Andy was a hill climber, then turned to circuit racing and won pretty much everything put in front of him, particularly in the World Touring Car Championship. You often wonder if Andy feels, hold on, it should be a BMW racing, so many years racing for BMW, but also a Ford Works driver as well, competing at Le Mans and the other great races, but it's really quite epic to have drivers good enough to be chosen by the manufacturers, stretching across the generations. So you can imagine just how proud Andy is as he watches on as Seb's career seems to find its legs and go faster and faster every year. Five minutes remaining. Gap down to 3.3 seconds back to Parker Thompson. But another back marker picked off. That's all he needs to do. Keep it clean. Keep it tidy. Don't take any risks. And I suppose that's one of the beauty of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. You've got a lot of space. You're not on a tight, constricted track. Some of the tracks they race on will have far little space to play in. And now it's the turn of Parker Thompson in second place to start flashing his lights. He's got Matt Halcombe and Joe Lombardo. They're fighting for the Pro-Am 991 class. They're nose to tail. They're right in front of him. So he's going to lose a bit of time because as they go through turns 8, 9, 10... and they start sweeping up the banking. He just wants to get past them. He's not going to manage to do that before the end of the lap, or is he? But he's certainly compromised. Now they get up onto the banking, go with the museum on the right-hand side, sweep through the corner at turn 11, go down to turn 12. He's picking one of them off, but then gets a compromise entry into turn 12. Still behind Halcombe, who keeps out of his way. Good use of the mirrors there. And Parker Thompson would have been saying thank you very much. And unfortunately, in the back of that pack, Joe Lombardo, who got up to a very close second position in the Pro-Am 991 class, got too close to Matt Halcombe as we had Parker Thompson going through, and he spun it round. And any moment now, he's going to, well, wait to see if Conor Flynn can get past before we have a recovery from Joe Lombardo. But here we were, into the final 5 minutes, into the final 4 minutes of the race when he went to spinning. And just simply got a tiny bit too close to the tail of Matt Halcombe. And there was nowhere else to go for Joe Lombardo. So rather than hitting the mystery machine, he backed out of it. The tail came round. And, just simply one of those things. Three minutes remaining. The race advantage, 4.1 seconds. Coming onto that infield straight, lights are flashing. It's our race leader. It's Seb Priaulx. Parker Thompson in the background. No traffic between them. Just waiting, and the move made very easily past Irish Mike's Racing, Craig Conway's car. Passed nice and tidily. Thank you very much to Craig there for keeping out of the way. The race leader, of course, also being given the assistance of waved blue flags from the race marshals. Just to inform him that there was a faster car coming through. In fact, there isn't a faster car on the track with a faster driver than Seb Priaulx today for the first of the three races at Indianapolis this weekend. Looks as though 25 points, the maximum point haul, will be going his way. And in fact, I completely forgot, he also, having started from pole position, gave 5 points for pole as well. So it's a really, really good haul. And for Kai Van Berlo, who at the moment isn't even heading for a top 10 finish, this has been a disaster. Running in 12th. That's 11th position in the pro class. So sometimes championship needs a good shake, but this one was a really tight one at the top. Now with under 2 minutes remaining. Therefore, this lap and the next one, I would suggest the job is almost done for Seb Priaulx. Now, the second of the races will be tomorrow morning. Track conditions will be cooler, but the third race will start at exactly the same time tomorrow. So all these drivers will know full well how their tyres will work through a 45-minute duration, the race duration tomorrow, and may amend their attack accordingly. They may go faster early on. They may save a bit of tyre life for the end of the race, but it's good experience. And it's been a few... For Joe Lombardo, we saw him having a little rotation a short while ago, and he's just run wide again, so he's a little bit rattled. Maybe his tyres took a bit of a beating in with the first spin, but also maybe it's just simply he's got more nearly 45 minutes of racing around the banking and around the infield circuit, and the tyres are getting a little bit tired. So just before we get to the chequered flag, expect victory in the Pro-Am class to go to Efrin Castro. He's 9th overall. The next closest runner is Tim Pappas, down in 13th overall. So for car 65, it's almost in the bag. For Seb Prio, leading the race overall, he's 4 seconds good. It's almost in the bag for him. And the Pro-Am 991 class, it's the mystery machine. It's 55. It's Matt Halcombe, seems to have this under control. He's 17th. And Connor Flynn is now ahead of Joe Lombardo, so he's up into second in class. But the driver sweeping towards the chequered flag next time around. The white flag is waved this time, but next time around, with it looks as though it's going to be still about a 4 second advantage, 4.5 second advantage, is Seb Prio. Penultimate lap, steps up the pace. No cars running immediately in front of him. He could pick his lines and just start to relax that little bit, but not enough to lose attention. So it really would require a meteor strike or something extraordinary now to stop Seb Prio from marching towards another win and marching into the lead of this championship. So he could be as many as 23 points clear after this race, with the 5 points for pole and the 25 points for victory. He's halfway around the lap. He's out of turn six, wide over the concrete apron, back onto the tarmac. Lights flashing. He may have to do some overtaking or may not risk it. There's a three-car gaggle. It's about 2 or 3 seconds ahead of him. He's going to want them to mind their own business, but keep an eye in the mirrors for him. He's coming through, but not at any cost. He's got the margin of 4.5 seconds. Doesn't have to take risks. There's nothing Parker Thompson could do about him. In third place all overall, and for the last grouping of cars making their run through to starting their final laps, we've gone past 45 minutes looking for the checkered flag, and it's going to be waved very soon indeed for car number 15, for the driver of car 15. That's Seb Prio for Kelly Moss Road and Race. It's another win going into the bag for Prio, and it looks as though the margin is going to stay pretty much as it was at the start of the lap. It might even go out to 5 seconds. It matters not. With the maximum points, he could win by 0.5 second if that was all that was required. But Thompson coming through in second place did nothing wrong other than one thing. That was let Seb Prio get away from him. And those early laps, of course, he was held back. He was being challenged by Kai van Berlo, and that allowed Prio to escape. And he didn't put a wheel wrong after that. Third place has gone to Riley Dickinson, waiting for Lee Keane to come through in fourth place. Waiting to see the cars that win the other classes as well. And it looks like it's going to be Efrin Castro, the checkered flag being waved to the drivers. Fourth place is to Keane. Waiting for TJ Fisher. He comes through in fifth. Sean McAllister in sixth. And Dylan Murray will be seventh. So not a lot of changing up and down the order, but some good solid racing. Points in the bank for all of these drivers for the Porsche Carrera Cup North America, but also experience they can carry into the two races tomorrow. Just waiting for Hutton McKenna to be coming through. He should take eighth place, and then ninth place ought to be going, just waiting for him to cross the finish line, should be going to our Pro-Am leader and winner now, Efrin Castro overall. And in fact, Efrin right at the end had just been passed by Sebastian Carazzo, who's gained a position. It doesn't matter for Efrin Castro though, because ninth place overall is perfectly good enough tenth place overall is perfectly good enough to lead the Pro-Am class at the finish. So Pro-Am to Efrin Castro. Second place in class will be Tim Pappas. Kurt Swearingen, I don't think he's just going to be able to get past as they run to the finish. No, I think that's all good behind, and not far behind him was John Gertz. But that really was a clean sweep there for Seb Prio. Led every single lap of the race from pole position. You can ask for no more than that. And in the Pro-Am 991 class, the mystery machine, Matt Halcombe, held on at the end. He was helped by Joe Lombardo having a spin, but did enough to take it through to the finish. And Kurt Swearingen did gain a position on the final lap. He'd been fighting back since the very start of the race. On lap one, it all went a bit wrong, but he came through to take the third place position in the Pro-Am class. And Pro-Am 991, it was Matt Howcombe, as I've said, number 55, second place Joe Lombardo, third Connor Flynn. So spread of drivers, but all of whom would have enjoyed their time up on the track. They loved it in practice, they liked it even more in qualifying, and I think in racing, yet another layer added to a lot of these drivers' careers to get to race here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Very, very special indeed. But for Seb Priot, the job is done. He can't relax too much. He's got two more races tomorrow, but that was a very, very tidy example of leading from pole position. And it was fantastic, this event, from start through to the finish. 26 cars went out to play, and play they did. At the start, it was Parker Thompson on the outside. Got the slightly better start, got the nose of his car just in front of the pole starter. But unfortunately for him, he was on the outside line, and he then had to fight with Kai Van Berlo as Seb Priot started to escape. Riley Dickinson trying to get in the mix. But we had spinners as well as winners, and unfortunately for Joe Lombardo, he was one of the cars that went round. 55 going beautifully. Matt Halkin leading the Pro-Am 991 class. Effin Castro, really, really good solid run from him in 65 to lead the Pro-Am class overall. But nobody could do anything about this man, Seb Priot, coming up to the checkered flag. Totally under control. Victory by 4.3 seconds. That's another win in the bag. And the driver from Guernsey literally fired out of the car, chock full of enthusiasm and delight. That's a win in the bag. And with the driver who was leading the championship coming away with nothing in the form of Kai Van Berlo, that's like a double win. Jumping up and down, the short figure there of Seb Priot, spring-loaded by the looks of things, and forget being slightly tired after 45 minutes racing. Quick kiss of the line of bricks. Not many drivers get to do that, and that's very special indeed for the driver from Guernsey. And for Kelly Moss, Road and Race, well, delighted on the behalf of Priot, and obviously slightly sad that his teammate Kai Van Berlo, the erstwhile championship leader, has come away with nothing. But they've got two races to play tomorrow. And we've got Sean Cimini very quickly down to have an interview with the winner. And cap on, let's hear the winner's thoughts.
Seb Priot, amazing. We talked. I had a feeling we were going to be talking again today after qualifying. You went out there really, really running well. You had a look in your eye, man, and then coming out here with such a great team behind you and stuff. And today it was just really impressive, more impressive than qualifying. Just really pulling and pulling, pulling. You never stopped digging. About midway through the race, what was going through your mind, man?
I mean, I can't thank Multimatic and Kelly Moss enough. You know, the car's been awesome this whole time. That was an amazing race. It was perfect for me, really. You know, it was tricky into turn one, but once I had the lead, it was pretty much just head down, focus forward. And, you know, I've been feeling amazing this weekend, and I've had my godfather here with me, and it really helped me out. So, yeah, I can't believe it. Really can't believe it.
And how special is it, because we were talking earlier, it's not just the driver that gets the car up on top of the podium, top of the box, but it's a whole team with the Kelly Moss Road and Race Team and Racing for Children's. So that's got to make it just that much more special that all of you guys can come together and run so well here in Indianapolis.
For sure. I mean, this track is a place I dream to drive, and I can't believe I won here. And, you know, it's got some history, and I really just can't believe it. It's amazing. Yeah, can't believe it.
Excellent. Excellent. Congratulations. A great win. We've still got a podium ceremony that we're going to go to here in just a little bit. And Seb Priot here, amazing run here for the Carrera Cup here, and brought to you by Cayman Islands. Excellent run. Podium coming up here right around the corner. So we're going to head up with all that action here in just a little bit. We're going to head on up to the podium here in just a few moments.
This program is a radio show limited production. For more, check imsaradio.com and subscribe to IMSA Radio wherever you get your podcasts.